Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on the radio and radio.com. Now, our next guest, we are just freaking out.
Honey, I cannot believe my black self is over here about to do this. My mama would be freaking out right now.
Well, we've got Billy Porter on the line, Tony and Grammy Award-winning actor, singer, director, composer, playwright, multi-hyphenate, basically. Currently, of course, starring on FX's Pose, Golden Globe nominee.
Come on, read the receipts. I need them.
Billy Porter, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You know, this is a highlight
of like a career highlight. Honestly, it's one of those things where you never really, you know, think you'll do it. And I met you at the Out 100 party last year, but you're just so excited. So it's so happy that we can merge all of our platforms and come together, you know?
Yeah, I love that. We have to come together.
Yeah, it's so important. Now, you're in New York, of course. Are you in the middle of shooting season two? What's going on?
We start shooting season two at the end of March. So I've been exercising some of my other muscles right now. The last top of the year has been really crazy. I wrote a play called I'm Trying to Touch Project that's being produced this fall. And so the first 2 weeks, I was doing a workshop of that with a cast. And I'm rewriting and just trying to see how that works.
Wow.
And then last week I was directing a reading of James Baldwin's A Main Corner, which is a play with music about a female Pentecostal pastor.
Oh wow.
So I was infusing gospel music by a gospel artist named Kurt Carr.
Yes.
Very popular famous gospel artists, and so we were putting the music into Amen Corner. So it's been a crazy, like, first 3 weeks of the year, also going to the Golden Globe and the Critics' Choice in between all of that in Los Angeles.
Wow.
So,
no biggie.
Yeah, just very casual.
Yeah, you're nonstop, literally. How do you keep it up, like... Do you have a routine, like a health routine or something? And your voice, like I know you use your voice so much. Like, what does a Billy Porter routine look like?
Yeah.
Well, sweetie, you know, I'm trained. I hate to sound, you know, pious and like separatist, but like, you know, I trained to do this. I went to Yale University. I trained as an actor. I trained as a singer for 30 years. You know, I still take voice lessons today. Like, it's not just about standing in line with a number and winning a reality show competition.
Yes.
You then have what you have to have, the goods that come behind it for sustainability. Anybody can win a contest. But how do you sustain? That's what I learned. I'm from that generation.
Which is...
You know, I'm going to be 50 this year. So, you know, I went to school. I learned what I'm doing. So, yes, I do have a regime. You know, I sleep. I warm up before I sing. I cover my throat when it's cold outside. You know, I drink incessant amounts of water. Like, I do. I do have... something that keeps me sustained. Also, too, you know, I've lived long enough in this business to have been unemployed for a long period of time. So when the employment comes, you pull yourself together and go to work.
Yes.
I've been 13 years in this business, you know, on Broadway. So it's like people want to pay attention now. Okay, I need to go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no rest at this point because I guess, especially with you, you've had such a long and just career, which is amazing. How would you bridge the gap for people coming up into the space? Because I feel like a lot of times the work ethic could be lost, you know, as fellow actors and actresses.
Well, I think that we can only, you know, I'm not a person that likes to be demonstrative or didactic. I'm the kind of person who loves to sort of lead by example. Let me show you what it looks like to be a professional. This is what it looks like, you know, and you either catch on or you don't.
Yeah,
totally. I mean,
it's not my business, it's not my problem, but like, I'm here to sort of like lead by example. That's all we can do. You know, at a certain point, because, you know, young adults don't like to be told what to do. Especially this generation, think they know everything. So it's like, okay, I thought I did too. So I understand the impulse, you know, but I always learned from the divas who were ahead of me. I was always watching and learning.
And by the way, happy birthday. 50 is a big number.
Yes.
Don't want to overlook that.
It's not till September, but, you know, I'm just getting used to saying 50.
Well, then, once you come, like, once you're back in L.A., you'll come here and we'll celebrate together, honey.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that.
You just mentioned the people that you looked up to. Like, who are some of those people as you were coming up?
Well, you know, I didn't have a lot of, I mean, the people they were like people in the trenches like me. You know, the Broadway stars whose names you don't ever know because, you know, they're famous in the 10-block radius, but sometimes they don't ever sort of break beyond that. You know, just the work ethic of theater in general, to watch, you know, the Cheetah Riveras of the world and, you know, I don't know, the Bernadette Peters of the world, the Patti LuPone of the world.
Yeah.
You know, when I was coming up, they were the mark. You know, it's 8 shows a week that you're the star.
Yeah.
Shows a week.
Broadway's the real hustle.
2 shows on Saturday. It's not easy, you know, and those were the people when I was coming up who were in the leading roles. And they were the, you know, it's like, no, they didn't miss Jonathan Pryce. I did, you know, Miss Saigon Retainer. It was my first Broadway show. You know, he never missed a show. In a year, he never missed a show. You know, so... There's a responsibility that comes with the gig.
Totally.
You know, especially when you're the lead and people are coming to see you. It's like, it's hard because, you know, people can ask for their money back if the lead is not in the show.
Right.
There goes your paycheck.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So, of course, with your character, Pray Tell, and Pose, how has this been such a turning point in your career?
Well, everybody knows that television and film has a really broad reach.
Right.
You know, we all try to sort of transition so that our reach can be larger. You know, but I think the thing for me is, you know, and I say this and I've been saying this and I'm going to continue to say this, I'm so grateful to have lived long enough to see the day where my story is being told. Our story is being told on such a large level, on such a large sort of commercial level. It's a different thing. It's a new day. And, you know, as a result of having lived it, you know, I get to be one of the interpreters of the story. And I just feel so blessed, you know, to be able to tell it because I know that I'm telling it authentically.
Yes.
Because
I lived it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't have to sit back and be mad that somebody's messing it up.
No, that's so
totally.
True. Yeah.
Now, award-winning, you know, multi-hyphenate Billy Porter joining us right now. Again, we're talking about representation, Poses FX, such an incredible show. When you got that script and that call, like, going into it, did you know that it was going to be as big as it became?
I did not know. You know, what I did know was that the day before I got the call, I had my nervous breakdown, my showbiz nervous breakdown, where I was just like, I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do this anymore, I'm sick of people ignoring me, I'm sick of people acting like I'm on the table with good stuff, I'm done. And then I get the call for a Ryan Murphy show that's set in the ballroom culture, literally the next morning.
Woo.
And I'm like, okay, Lord, I see it. And then I get the role, and it's actually... for what became the dance teacher that Charlene Woodard is playing now.
Yeah.
And I looked at the part and I said, yes, this ain't the part, but of course I'm going in. So I learned the part. I learned my, you know, my words. I went in, I did the audition, and then I said to Alexa Fogle, the casting director, I was like, okay, so real talk, you know this is the wrong part for me, right? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's not going to do anybody any good to do a show like this and have me play a dance teacher
outside of the
ballroom culture. I was here, I lived it, like, what about one of these mothers of the houses of, like, something? And that's when she, Alexa, the casting director, told me that, you know, Ryan was going transgender with the help mothers. And I said, well, they're going to need a father over there. they're going to need the, you know, they have fathers too. They have grandfathers, they have fathers. Like, they're going to need somebody who sort of has a little bit of age to kind of, you know, be the grounded energy, right? And she went to Ryan, and Ryan was like, yep, you're right. And, you know, if you can do an impersonation of this, you know, if you can do some version of the MC, we'll create something for you.
What?
If I can do it.
Look.
The whole culture has been doing it for the last 30 years. The whole culture has based our whole vernacular on Terrence's birthday.
Huh.
Yeah.
Many people really don't even know it, but like everything came from that.
Yeah, it's such an iconic film.
That story is so amazing that he just created it for you. And like, it just, I love the, you know, how everything just blends together in the flow of that and how it happens when you're at this place where it feels rock bottom or that nothing's left. Like the universe shows you signs to keep going.
Yeah, it was really, you know, and also too, with this role, it's not lost on me that all of the things that I am, you know, we talk a lot in this world about authenticity. We talk a lot about, oh, just be yourself. Oh, just be yourself. Oh, be authentic. Oh, be authentic. And it's like, yeah, it's easy to be authentic when you're Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
It's easy to be authentic when what you are is what's popular, you know, but the challenge comes when who you are is reviled, but yet you're supposed to be authentic. But I can't eat because people hate me and won't hire me. Because of who I am or the color of my skin, you know? So it's not so easy to be authentic all the time, you know, when it's based on whether you're going to eat or not.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and so it just gets hard, you know? And it's like everything I am, everything I represent from the minute I started was questioned. You know, well, you can't be that, you can't do that, you're too black for this, you're too gay for this, you're too gospel for this, you're too, you know, like, it's too much, too much, too much, too much, too much, too much. Don't do that. Don't do this. And then all of a sudden, I'm given a job where everything that I am is required to make it work.
Yes.
Ooh, I have literal chills.
It happened with Kinky Boots. And it happened with, you know, it's like all the stuff I ran away from for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't put on no heels.
Yeah.
Someone won't cast you as a straight man. You know, don't put on that outfit because you won't be cast as straight. And straight is still better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very, yeah.
Which is so interesting. You said in an interview, we have the power as artists to change the molecular structure of the world. So what does this mean to you now, especially with your character being out there and the success that you've seen on this mainstream level?
Like, I won. Like, there was a question, and we've won. We're here. You know, the story, everybody's story is necessary. Everybody's story is important. Not just white, male, cisgender narrative.
Yes.
Everybody's story. You know, and when you see your story and when you see yourself visible in the culture, it creates a different kind of empowerment. It's got it. You know, watching Kamala Harris's speech yesterday, it was like, wow, can you imagine the number of African-American little girls who are looking at that going, wait, I can be that powerful?
No, it sends chills. And it's a lot of times there's all this conversation saying, you know, that America isn't ready for a black woman to, you know, have that type of power.
Yeah, no, we are. We're ready. After last night, we're ready. You know, I don't know that before last night, but you look at that and you go, right. You know, this diva, she said, I was offered your job with the Beauregard session. And I turned it down.
Yes.
Let's be clear. The Negroes have education now. I know you're behind, but we do. And this is over. Whatever y'all think you're doing is over. You know, we on this side have to begin to demand what is ours, what we have, our right to live on the planet. You know, you're trying to take that away, our fundamental rights, for whatever reason, because y'all are still living in the dark ages. No. We're here. We're not going anywhere. Let's pull this together now, and let's call it what it is and change it. Stop complaining. Stop being terrified. It's unbelievable. No, it's not unbelievable. We're here.
Yes.
Stop that.
Right?
Stop that and get to the place of what are you going to do about it? What are we doing about it?
Ooh, Billy, you gonna make me take tithes and offering. I just feel like I'm in a revival.
Yeah, I've been tearing up here. I'm even crying. So, Billy Porter again joining us right now. Now, you know, this platform that you have keeps on getting bigger, I guess, and you do speak out about these important issues and things that are your truth. Do you feel that responsibility?
Of course I do. You know, I came out in 1985. You know, we were in the middle of the AIDS crisis. I watched my friends dying in the street. I know what this looks like. I've seen it before. You know, I've seen it before. It's like we owe it to the people who came before us to continue to fight. Unfortunately, you know, it's like eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, is what Frederick Douglass said. It's hard to come to terms with that. You know, because it's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of the same fight.
Yeah.
Like, if it was something different, you know, maybe it would be less infuriating. But y'all want us to go back now and fight for the same stuff that we already spent the last 100-plus years fighting for and winning. And now we're supposed to go back to the beginning, you know, just freely and willingly without any, you know. Like, I think that's what's so surprising now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because white people, white men in particular, think that whatever they say goes. And that's how they live, because that's how it's always been.
Yeah, and they're fighting it.
Yeah,
definitely there's a lot of defensiveness happening right now.
Oh, no, for sure. I think let's go back to the Golden Globes. What was that moment you found out you were nominated for Best Actor and then being in the Beverly Hilton? Tell me, take me there.
Well, I'm about to drop some names, so please don't think I'm going to.
No, do.
Atlanta with Tiffany Haddish.
Yes!
And Selma Hayek. Called Limited Partners, is coming out this summer, and I knew that the Golden Globes the nominations were coming out, and I had my phone in my back pocket for our take, and I thought, well, if it starts buzzing, it's good news. So it started buzzing in the middle of the take.
Aww.
And then, you know, my negative brain went in and was like, well, maybe it's buzzing because people are calling me to say, sorry, I didn't get it. And they said cut, and one of the producers came in and said, before we move on, we have a Golden Globe nominee. I screamed and cried. And
you know, it's so it's so funny how the brain works sometimes, especially when you know it's there and when the universe knows it's there for you, but your brain will literally flip in and negative, be like, oh, you didn't get that. Everyone's just like, you know, saying, oh, it's okay. Next time you'll get it. It's so crazy how the brain works.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we always go for the negative parts, unfortunately. We have to retrain ourselves. I'm retraining myself. You know, I hear the negative voices, and then I try to go and change it immediately to the positive. Because we are what we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Words are powerful.
Who knows what it's like to speak life, you know, and favor into my life. I know what that feels like because I've done it. You know, the reason why I'm standing here is because I've spoken my own life into myself.
Definitely. And we feel it through the phone.
No, this is the best.
So with award season, we've been seeing all your amazing red carpet looks.
Ooh, honey,
out there.
The wigs have snatched.
What goes into a Billy Porter red carpet look?
Well, first of all, this was the biggest red carpet look season that I ever have experienced. You know, I've had a stylist now for about 6 months. I've always done it myself. You know, what I love and what I've always loved about clothes is that it's another way of expressing myself artistically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a long period of time in my life, starting with, you know, me trying to have an R&B record career in the 90s, in the sort of violently homophobic R&B world, where that part of myself was really actually squashed and silent, you know, because, you know, if you wear something that looks like that, people might think you're gay. So don't wear that. Don't talk like that. Actually, don't speak at all. You know, like, those were the things that I was coming up against in the 90s. And as I've grown and as I've deepened and as I've become more of who I am, you know, this opportunity came up, you know, actually starting with Kinky Boots. You know, I realized I want to not only be an artist, but I want a performing artist, but I also want people to understand that I have fashion sense, and I love fashion, and I love dressing up, and I love, you know, playing with clothes as fashion as art. Another way, a piece of walking art. That's what I want to be when I show up on these red carpets. That's my goal. And, you know, to finally get to the place where people are interested in helping me make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, Randy Wong really understood what it was when we went to her and asked her to help us. She said, I get what you're trying to do. I get who you are. And let's make this happen. There's nothing greater than being free. There's nothing greater for me than sort of finding that space. I found it in the last, you know, year. I found this place that feels very much individual, and it also feels political. It also feels very forward moving. Trans girls have taught me so much, and taught me so much about myself, taught me so much about the community, taught me so much about where we haven't been present for our brothers and sisters. And, you know, I thought, wow, well, if there's any time for me to work on this gender fluid thing as a response to politics, now, that's where my sort of look and my focus has become this time. That's why it's become that. And I'm thrilled. It's so nice. It's fun. It's very fun.
No, it's amazing.
It's awesome.
And speaking of trans women that's kind of been helping in your life, a lot of critics even called out, you know, the categories for best actress because there were no noms for any of the trans actresses that were on your show. Do you think there's still growth to be had in Hollywood as of right now?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, it's slow. It's always slow. You know, show business, we in show business love to masquerade as being inclusive. And very often we're the worst at being non-inclusive. You know, I do believe one of the strides was made this year with me in Best Lead Actor, you know, showing the world that there is a such thing as a black gay leading man.
Yes.
We're
not
always on the side. We're not always the best friend with the wisecracks. We're not always the clown. That's not always what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we are leading men as well in our own lives. We're leading men in our own community. We are leading men. So the statement of that with me in that category is a big deal. That's a big deal. And that's a first step, you know. And so we have to acknowledge what those steps are and continue to push forward.
Yeah. And now, continuing in pushing forward as a survivor of sexual abuse in the era of the Me Too movement, what are your thoughts on Terry Crews fighting for a voice you don't hear often from men and speaking out against toxic masculinity?
Well, I think we all have to speak out against toxic masculinity. I think Terry Crews is a very, very special human being for being able to understand what toxic means.
Yeah.
You know, to understand what it means and to then take the necessary steps to dampen the toxicity. You know, it's not about us, it's not about people knowing every step to make or always making the right step. This is all of us. You know, we're doing everything in the public eye. You know, there's always room for forgiveness, right? But when you're called out on something, to step back and be humble enough to go, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't get that, but now I do, is the right kind of tone for an apology.
Yeah.
Right? There's a tone that comes with an apology that's appropriate, and there's a tone that isn't. So if you're going to dig your heels in to your toxic masculinity and then give a sort of like toxic apology. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. You know, the only thing that we're asking, the only thing that anybody is asking is to go, oh, shoot, that's my privilege.
Yes.
Yep.
This is my privilege showing. I'm sorry. It is sensitive right now. It's more sensitive than it used to be. And I was not taking that into account when I said this or that or thusly or did this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with apologizing. There's nothing wrong with...
Yeah,
I was saying, yeah, there's nothing wrong with, you know, saying you were wrong. There's nothing wrong with being vulnerable, especially as black people, and me speaking from being a black queer person of color, I think we have a hard time, one, accepting things that are other, but also, two, just saying, guess what? I was wrong, and I'm going to learn from this.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wrong. I didn't get it. I get it now.
Yeah.
You know, I get it now, and let's move forward. Let's move forward.
Totally.
And let's move forward without your defensive attitude about it.
Yep. And
let's move forward without making ourselves victims.
Yes.
Let's take victimhood on when you're actually not the victim.
I was going to say, unfortunately, that leads, you know, the top leads that, so... we haven't as president, so. Billy Porter, again, we are diving into everything, it seems, here and having just an amazing conversation. I know, Ryan, you had something to discuss in terms of like a renaissance happening in TV right now.
Yeah, everyone's describing this period in time of a kind of like a black renaissance. What's one thing that you want other black queer artists, especially trying to jump into this business, to learn and to, you know, to just some advice?
If there has been a time where one could really lean into their authenticity and their queerness as a black person, as an African American person, as a minority, anything, it's now. It's like the window is cracked open and we're all just kind of diving in and letting the chips fall where they may.
Hmm.
But the material is, you know, and it's not just for black queer people, it's for all minorities.
I mean,
from Crazy Rich Asians to, you know, I watch The Shy to Insecure. You know, it's like stuff like that never existed before.
Right.
Never. You know, we never, our stories were not being told in mainstream or the regular like that, ever. And I love it. I love to see it. I love to learn about all the different types of people who are out here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's the only way we're gonna coexist in the world.
Yes.
It's all gonna be brown. It's all gonna be black and brown in about 30 years.
Come on, won't he do it?
It's all gonna be black and brown.
News break. So as we wrap this up, Billy, what is coming up next for you? We know that you're already signed on to American Horror Story, which is so exciting.
Yes, I am. We'll talk about fashion. I am the ambassador for the CFDA for fashion.
Oh my God, that is huge. That is so huge.
Huge thing for me. You know, because I don't know. It's huge. It's very. It's everything that I ever wanted. You know, it's me as, you know, the classic grown-up coming in and reminding people that we actually still wear clothes.
Yeah.
We actually have the money to buy them. So you might want to focus on us.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's such a barrier, especially in fashion. Like, you don't see... people, even like people of color, really kind of taking that ambassador role, and I think that's so powerful. Oh my God, congrats on that!
So I'm so excited about that. And then I'm doing some new music. I'm trying to get some, you know, I'm getting some music out for World Pride because I'm going to be, you know, sort of representing during World Pride. So I'm going to be doing some songs, some concerts and stuff for that. We go back into Pose. We go back into shooting clothes in March.
Yes.
And, you know, trying to get a vacation or two in with my husband before that starts.
Yes, honey. Business and pleasure.
Yeah. You
I said business and pleasure. You got to make sure to balance it.
Yes. I'm not very good at that. So my husband has been very good at it. helping me, patting me on the shoulder.
Yeah. Well, you. Well,
we have to go away.
Well, yeah, it's hard when you're someone who has so much to express and express and share with the world, like you, and you have this one time on this planet. Do it all.
Yeah, yeah, but we're doing it. We're making it. I'm so, I don't know, I'm so full. I'm so joyful. You know, I think, you know, we talk about happiness and we talk about joy all the time. You know, happiness is from the outside in for me.
Yeah.
Joy is from the inside out. Joy is something that's deeper. Joy is something that exists even on your darkest days. Even on my darkest days, I still find joy in this life. I'm grateful for that. You know, I really, really am grateful.
Well, we are grateful to have you
here
with us today.
Yeah.
You're fabulous, and we wish you only the best. So much love.
Yeah, and when you're in LA, this is your new home. And also, we're gonna try to get some of your music on our station because you have the bops.
Yeah, you can have anything.
Great.
It's on all the platforms, darling.
Yes.
Again, Billy Porter, thank you so much again for being on Let's Go There on Channel Q.